Against All Odds is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, and you must be 21 or older.
Part of the Extra Points Podcast Network, part of Omaha Productions, Cousin Sal comes to you on a Thursday night after a bedache of all bedaches. We'll get to it in a second. Mikey Meatballs fiddling with the knobs, babyface Joel Solomon producing this mess, and joining me as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the degenerate trifecta, Harry Brother Bry, and Darren the Parley Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Hey, Somber Sal.
What's going on, buddy?
All right, so let me recap for everyone. We just watched the end of the Thursday night game, and Parley Kid and I celebrated just way too not way too early.
Come on.
Seven seconds too early. Except we knew how we were going to get beat this time. Anyway, we can't have any more points. It's 22-17 Browns. They're third and three. They get a first down, and then they remeasure. It's now fourth and one. And so now they punt. They punt it to the 10. So I have the Browns and the under. Parley Kid has the Steelers and the over. He can't have another Browns touchdown. I can't have any other touchdown.
Right.
Anybody who has the under can't have another touchdown. Brian, am I explaining this?
I think so. Because I think you got it.
Yeah, on a teaser.
Yeah, sure. But anyone... Oh, because it went over, right?
Right.
It went over already. Okay. So if you had the under on a teaser, or if you had the Steelers on a teaser, you do not want a score. No time left. Trubisky from the 10. And I said it. Parley Kid, we said it. Like, there's going to be a ton of laterals here. What's the odds on the ball hitting the turf? And I didn't even get the spit wasn't dry on my lip before they start lateraling it. And it ends in the end zone. Not even ends in the end zone. Ends in the two. The Browns player gobbles it up. Tosses it to himself in the end zone, and they call it a touchdown, 29-17 final. Our teasers lose. And that's it. Disgusting. Just disgusting, Parley Kid.
Absolutely disgusting, Sal. And the thing is, is it's one thing if you and I basically lost on the same bet. We actually had the opposite of each other. We both could have won, and we both lose. That is almost impossible to have a scenario, right?
Yeah.
That we would both lose. When you have, I have the Steelers plus 10.
Yeah, anyone who had the Steelers on a teaser lost. Anyone who had the under.
You have the exact opposite, and we both lose.
Man.
Absolutely agonizing.
And we knew it was going to happen,
you
too.
You just could feel that it was going to happen.
Did we kind of call
punt,
it?
Right?
We kind of called it, Darren.
Literally I said it's going to hit the turf. I said there's going to be laterals. But what I did think, Darren, they normally look a little off field, right? So the guy who, I don't even know, was it Claypool caught it first? I can't even know. I didn't see the numbers. Whoever caught it first, their immediate move, their football move, was backwards. They're like, oh, who could I lateral to? The same guy who got the laterals. Like, oh, who could I lateral to? And of course it hits the ground and it's not going to be a Steeler that falls on it. It's a Browns player that falls on it. But nobody even tried to get upfield. No one tried to throw a cross field lateral. I know this doesn't matter to anybody. The Browns won 29-17 and it doesn't, they were winning and they won, but oh, for God's sake.
Just throw the
so
ball
bad.
Downfield on a play like that. How are you going to score from the 10-yard line on a bunch of laterals?
And you keep going, and you keep going backwards.
Give me a break.
Yeah, they didn't even try to go forward at all, Brian.
Never.
That sucked.
Thank God it didn't matter to me.
Yeah, you had the Steelers plus 4.
It didn't matter to me. I lost anyway, so.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, so, it made for thrilling, Spotify.
Yeah, we're on Spotify Live. We called it. We were screaming. I guess that's our friend Toby, co-founder of the Extra Points Podcast Network, texted me. He says, instead of that half-hour Caesars read that you're about to do, they should just play the agonizing ending of that if they want to scare people off of gambling. Yeah, yes. So forget about, he's right.
Point.
We don't, the 40-1-800 numbers, yes, they're good. Definitely useful if you have a problem, or you could just go back and listen to what we went through, and that'll do it there. So anyway, 29-17, the Browns are 2-1. They could be 3-0. Are they good? Are they going to win this division? I don't know. We'll get to the games.
Browns
in a second.
Are not a bad. I think the Browns are a good team. I think they're
they have
team.
Like a quarterback. Their best quarterback is coming back or something. I didn't read. Something's going on with this. This isn't even their guy, right, Harry?
More than anything tonight, the Browns defense in the second half was stifling. They allowed zero. Yeah, what I'd say one in the Spotify live show, 1 or 2 yards to Harris in the second half. No passing yards either. They totally shut down the Steelers.
They did, and so now they have a decision, the Steelers. Well, they've had this decision for the last couple of weeks, but Trubisky won week one against Cincinnati, wasn't supposed to, lost last week against the Patriots, and then lost this week, and now it gets ugly. We looked at their schedule. They have one more, I don't even want to say gimme, but they're home against the Jets, parlay kid, and then they go on for a miserable stretch. I'll pull it up, but what do you think about Trubisky and Pickett? Where do they go?
It's to me, I've been a defender of Trubisky throughout the years, but it's Pickett time. It's Pickett time. I mean, I don't think they're going to make that move. I think already Tomlin, as Joel said, and he's a Steelers fan, that Tomlin's already nixed that idea. But I think right now is a perfect time for Pickett time. Let him start at home against the Jets. You got a long rest here before the next game. It's time. It's time.
He nixed it a few times. He said it a couple weeks. He's not playing Pickett this year. And then Babyface, what? He said it in the post-game press conference. He got mad. Someone asked him.
Yeah, he said it in the post-game press conference. I mean, and it's crazy because it's 3 weeks into the season, and that first game almost gave them false hope. And now TJ Watt's gone, and I think Tomlin's had a lot of pride and thinks he can win with these guys. But yeah, this season is. Time to develop for the future for sure. Yeah,
he needs to run more, Trubisky. Damashek's right for about sure. That one thing. If it's Mitch Trubisky, if it's the one you think you drafted a few years ago, if it's the one you think the running quarterback who can get you like 35, 40 yards on the ground and extend drives and stuff like that, it's a different story. But if it's the 14 for 21, 155 and no touchdowns, Trubisky, you can get that anywhere, right?
Yeah,
absolutely, Sal.
For sure,
absolutely. That's exactly right. So, what are you holding back a Pickett for? You might as well get him his feet wet right now. The Steelers are not going anywhere this year. I know they always find a way to win like 8 or 9 games somehow, but this would be a great year to develop him at this point. Great year.
Yeah, and had they not beaten the Bengals in Week One, I think there's no question it's going to happen. And so right, Paul, they have the Jets next Sunday, and then at Bills. Buccaneers, at Dolphins, at Eagles, versus Saints, versus Bengals, at Colts. Wow. I mean, that is 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
And they just don't have the weapons on offense. They just don't.
Yeah, so what's that? 4-7, best case scenario? I mean, they're not going to be favored in any of those games. Maybe home against the Saints? Man, I don't know. Who knows what goes on there? But that's a mess. So, all right, so 29-17. Browns win. I want to promote our contest, extrapoints.com/arcade. You got the Pick'em contest, $203. Damashek's throwing in the three. I'm rolling over the 100 I won last week. Pick'em contest, $203, top score. Then you have your, what's the other one called? The prop quiz. Oh, yeah. Lots of fantasy questions in there. Actually, 10. I don't know, you go 6 or 7 out of 10.
I'm going to go nice 2 out of 10. I already did it. I wasn't confident at all. I'm going to get like 2.
You did?
Right. Yeah.
Brian, come on. You got to get that hat. Yeah, hey, real confident. Quick, Aaron Judge, why can't he hit the ball? He had like he made contact once today, Parley Kid. What good is that?
Yeah, I guess, as we were on Spotify Live, it sounded like Aaron Judge almost hit one out.
Thought it was out.
Brother Bry gave us the play-by-play. Didn't happen, but... I think he gets it tomorrow. He gets it tomorrow.
Really? I mean, he's got the whole Maris family there in the luxury box. He's got they're catching the Yankee Red Sox game. That's fun, but they got to be there all weekend. And then the next week, the following, the home games,
I guess
they
got to
give up at some point.
Are you rooting
right?
for him as a like, if you're part of the Maris family, are you rooting just so you don't have to go to any more games, though?
They were
definitely rooting when Judge hit that ball. They had the cameras on him. They were definitely rooting for a home run. It's very weird.
Maybe they're good actors. Maybe they're like the Brad Pitts, and we don't even know it. Maybe they're, who knows what's going on. But hey, if the Red Sox, why aren't they hitting Judge? I mean, you want to get this rivalry going. Forget about these dumb walks. Yeah. Why'd they walk him 3 times, 4 times today?
3 times, and the Yankees held Xander Bogaerts hitless, so he is two points ahead on the batting average title right now.
He's
even have to go 0-2 tonight. Yes!
Yeah. I'm surprised. Yeah, well, I guess he can't sit until he breaks this record.
There's a win for you.
Yeah, well.
So the big thing is, this is nice. This is fun for you. This is the Yankee record. But if he doesn't do it in 154 games, then it becomes something else, right? Or do you not care about that?
Well, I think...
that's what Maris did. Maris, he got the 61 and 154.
Yeah, he got the full contingent of games right there, Maris.
Oh, he did have 162. Did they change it to that? It had been...
I think Maris had the 162, Sal. I could be
maybe
wrong.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. I thought it was 154. Let's see. Oh, yeah, you're right. He played 161 games in 61. Right,
so he had the full contingent. I'm not sure what number game he hit that 61st.
Oh, I see. So Ruth is the 60 you want to break in 154. Yes. That's it. I got you. All right.
Exactly.
All right. That's why I'm getting confused. I'm sorry. I'm still a little woozy from that game.
I don't blame
you.
I mean,
we saw a great catch of that George Pickens, right? Catch of the year, Bri?
Phenomenal. Fun. It's going to be hard to top that one.
Nothing's topping that.
Guess what? Guess what, Pickens? Didn't mean anything.
Much like Odell Beckham Jr.'s catch against the Cowboys, the George Pickens catch does not mean anything. All right, let's do this. We are going to preview, seven pro games and two college games, and then these guys have Sharp Tank, and then we'll get the heck out of here. So let's start with the Ravens and Patriots. It's in Foxborough. Patriots catching 3. Ooh, 44 is the over-under. Mm. Everyone's got this on their list as the get-right game for the Ravens. Obviously, they had a disgusting, 35-14 against the Dolphins. They blew it in the fourth quarter. I can't figure this Ravens team out. Maybe another Alabama quarterback throws it in their face this Sunday in Mac Jones. Ravens have allowed 464 yards a game, worst in the league. Their secondary, when healthy, is amongst the best, but Marcus Peters, Marlon Humphrey, still limited, as is Ronnie Stanley, so their running game suffers. I guess Dobbins plays this week. But let's look at these Patriots. Their secondary held Tyreek Hill and Waddle in check. That's something the Ravens could not do. Pats are going to play it tough. Belichick figures it out at home. They're 4-0 in against the spread in their last 5 in Foxborough, and Ravens 0-6 in their last 6 in Foxborough. I know it's meaningless because most of those were Brady, but I think this is a Mac Jones, Jacoby Myers breakout game. 26-23, Patriots win. Brother Bri, you're going with me here.
You're going a little high scoring here for this game. But it's funny because, I'm not really sure what the Pats are. But if you're giving me points with Belichick at home, I think there's a good chance I'm going to take it. I feel like most of the time I'm going to take it regardless who they're playing. And Belichick has owned Harbaugh, right, in his career. I mean, the one thing we
know. Why are you coughing, Bri? Bri, why are you coughing so much? Oh, so that's Harry.
It's been back. This guy travels and now he's sick again.
The honeymoon hack. Of course. The honeymoon hack. It's back.
It's just ridiculous.
Go ahead, Bri. Sorry to interrupt.
No, I was just going to say that.
Sorry, Bri.
The one thing we know with the Patriots, right? Obviously, they're still very good defensively. Back-to-back games on the road, you give up 20 and you give up 14, right? 20 against the Dolphins. So I think Belichick's going to do a good job keeping Lamar in the pocket, making sure he beats him through the air. And, you know, I just don't see – I don't see the Ravens against the Pats just – I don't see them scoring more than, 24 points in this game. So I think 3 points – I think it's – again, I think this is a very, very close game on the rather low-scoring side. Yeah, I'm going to say it's like a 21-20 type game. Really, really close. Really close.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And you would think you would take the – well, you might have the Ravens winning that. But either way, you take Tucker there. But okay, so that's it. Yeah, how many did the Jets score against the Ravens? Is that 24? Yeah, so the Ravens score against the
Ravens
Jets.
Yeah, Ravens only scored 24. 24 at the Jets. That's what I'm saying. I don't see them scoring that much, I don't think so.
All right. So Bills at Dolphins. This is a fun one. Is Romo doing this game? He must be. Is this the CBS game or is he doing Chiefs Colts? Let me see. He might be doing your game, Bri. Raiders Titans because that's the late. I don't know.
Who wants to watch that?
He should do this one. Bills at Dolphins. 6-point favorite, 52. God, I would, I would say normal 90% of the time, the team laying almost a touchdown on a short week going on the road, I would take the underdog. And especially if the underdog's Miami, a team that just went nuts last week offensively. But you know what? I took Tennessee on Monday and it was a god-awful pick. I bought it up 10.5. The parlay kid got 12.5. It didn't even matter. What was it? 41-7. Josh Allen, 75% completion rate, 7 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. It seems better than that, doesn't it? It seems much better than 7-2 and 75%. And this is like another huge game for the Dolphins, right? So the Patriots game is always big. The game last week was a big emotional game. They had a comeback. This is 3 huge games in a row for Miami. I think it's too much. I think the Bills are going to be too much offensively. I expect Tua to have a similar game to as he did with New England. Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, who was injured, but I think okay now. I think they'll do a decent job keeping Ty Hill and Waddle in check. Bills, 6-1-1 against the spread in the last 8 overall. And if you look at Xavier Howard as a groin injury, he might play, but that's a bad matchup. Xavier Howard sidelined with a groin injury versus Stephon Diggs. Either way, if he plays or not, Diggs is on pace for a career best year. I'm betting the team. It's very simple. I'm going to bet the team that's punted 3 times in 8 quarters. 30-20, Buffalo. Harry, you're with the Bills also.
Yeah, Sal, I'm taking the team too that's averaging like 35 points a game this year. They won at Miami last year, 35-0. 3 straight versus Miami by double digits. They've beaten them 7 times overall in a row, and 6 of those 7 by double digits. And maybe 2 is the real deal. I mean, maybe Sunday was a fluke, but the Bills' offense is just a complete machine. Until I see otherwise, I don't, it just like I can understand if you want to take the Dolphins, especially with the comeback that what they did in the fourth quarter in the second half. But still, Bills' offense is a machine. Diggs is on a mission this year. They've been fantastic. I'm not going to go against them.
Yeah, and it looks like they pulled it. Like if it was like 3.5, I'm like, crap, we have to take the Dolphins, don't we? Right? But it's 6. And so now everybody's going to be on the Dolphins. I think they're going to get beat up here. All right, Chiefs at Colts. Now I'm going the other way here. This is 5.5. Chiefs are giving the Colts 5.5. 50.5 is the over under. I love the Chiefs this year. And believe me, I won't be taking a lot of AFC South teams over AFC West teams this year. The Colts, Brian, we talked about how they're expected to win 8 games. Mm-hmm. And if you go to Caesars, and they're also expected to win the division. So that's what you're looking at with this AFC South. But I think there's a slight letdown factor here with the Chiefs versus a team that absolutely needs to wake up, these Colts. They're better than they showed last week. They're a decent bounce back team for the bettors. 4-1 against the spread in their last 5 after a straight up loss. Taylor's got to get it going. I mean, he's got 5.4 yards per carry, but they got to get it to him more. A little less Matt Ryan. He should not try to do so much. I know that's easy to say against a Chiefs team that's going to score, but I think he gets Michael Pittman back, gets Alec Pierce back. Shorten the game, like I said, pound Taylor. It's a weird spot for KC. They might win, but I think it's a 28-24 type game. Give me the points. Parlay kid, you think this is a blowout?
No, Sal. I think at the last minute I switched over to the Colts.
I don't know if
with
you could do that.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, my first instinct was like, you know, when we talked about that Titan Bills game, was, you know, I was worried that about what could happen, right? I'm kind of a little worried about here, but this is a desperate Colts team, right? This season is about to be, it could be ending on Sunday. 0-3 start. How many teams rebound from that? Especially with a 37-year-old quarterback. And you know how much I dislike Matt Ryan. I mean, he's let me down time and time again. So why am I taking the Colts? Well, I think they're going to pound the ball some more against this Chiefs team. And that's going to be the game plan. That's what they should be doing. Running the ball, controlling the clock, and hopefully keeping this game close within striking distance at some point. Shaq Leonard could be back playing linebacker, which could be a big addition to this Colts defense. I think the Colts might be, even though they're going to have some extra rest here, boy, I could see them just being a little flat in this game. A little flat.
I like it, D. I like it.
And the Colts taking advantage, pounding Taylor. Taylor goes for about a $1.20 in this game. He single-handedly keeps the Colts in this game. Chiefs win, but Colts cover the spread.
That's what it's got to be, right? I mean, I wouldn't put a lot on this because it could be the same old Colts showing up. And you really don't have to start winning probably till middle November in that division to take the division crown. So I don't want to say it's a must win, but they have to get their act together at some point. So I'm taking the points. Oh, all right, listen, whatever you're betting, teasers, over, under, do it through Caesars because they have all the names. Caesar himself, Cleo, the Mannings, Henrik Lundqvist, and now yours truly. Yes, Against All Odds is now a proud member of the Caesars Empire. And you know what it is that sets Caesars Sportsbook and Casino apart from the others? It's the perks. It's the only sports betting app with Caesars Rewards. So every time you place a bet, win or lose, you get reward credits, which could use towards game tickets, bonuses, experience, free stays at iconic Caesars destinations, and more. And your very first bet, check this out, Harry. It's on Caesars, up to $1,250. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it all back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 reward credits, putting you closer to the types of perks only Caesars can offer. So download the app, use promo code CZRFULL, and go full Caesars this season. Oh, and Caesars Sportsbook and Casino plays by the rules. They comply with all the legalities of the sports betting world. So here comes the lengthy, unabridged, national responsible gaming disclaimer. Yes, you must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ontario, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, and Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Yes, you have to know when to stop before you start. If you have a gambling problem in Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, or Pennsylvania, or if you know someone who has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, or in Maryland, visit MarylandGamblingMDGamblingHelp.org, or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY. That's 467-369. Visit CONNEXONTARIO.CA or call 1-866-531-2600 or text CONNEX to 247-247. Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. All right, let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and preview Packers Bucks.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, Green Bay traveling to the Big Sombrero. Wow, this is a pick'em now. It's a pick'em now, Bri. Can you believe this?
Interesting.
It was like 1.5, 2. The Bucks were favored. Why not? They're home. They got Tom Brady. Rodgers and Brady. That's weird. I'm not used to seeing them square off outside of a golf course, but right? It's usually the Rodgers Brady. That's it. So now we're seeing them, and it's weird because I think the Packers are 20th in the league in passing, and the Bucks are 23rd in passing, and it's all about the defenses. They're by far the standout units of these squads through week two. I think the no Mike Evans thing is gonna hurt the Bucks more than you saw how much he was fined, almost nothing comparatively. So did he do it on purpose? Did he go after the Saints to get the ball rolling, light a little fire in the belly? Maybe he's not losing anything except a suspension here. I think it evens the playing field. Packers, 157 yards rushing per game. I know it plays right into the strength of Tampa Bay, but Aaron Jones, he's got Bakhtiari back. We think Elgdon Jenkins came back last week. I mean, Jones had a monster 8.8 yards per carry against the Bears, probably because it was the Bears. But I do like the Packers offense picking it up here. Sure. Rodgers to Sammy Watkins works for now. Packers pull out a close one, 26-24.
Oh, God.
Brian, that's over.
You're
you like
going
it under,
over again.
Huh?
Yeah. Damn.
I know. I'm sorry. I know. I'm usually
damn,
over.
Damn, you're going under.
Well, I went under today. Look what happened. It's ridiculous.
You got to tease. That's why you got to tease this stuff.
Oh, yeah. Pauly kid, we were bragging about our teasers, our Thursday night teasers. Oh, man.
Well, Brian, yeah, it's true. Ahead, remember, you were like, oh, we hit.
I remember.
We hit. Yeah, you know, Darry, you hit. I hit. Harry hit.
Yeah, we were about to sell. If you remember, you were about to close the show. Then you're like, ah, I guess we should just stay on till the end of this.
I'm an idiot. I should have closed the show.
Oh,
I should have closed the show. So stupid.
I'm going to go under 42. I don't know if I don't know. I keep flip-flopping on who I think's going to win this game. I think, you know, I think Brady loves this type of challenge here, right? With not a lot of weapons going into this game. So I wouldn't necessarily go against them here. But what we know, right, is Tampa's defense is very good, right? They've probably been the most impressive defensive unit so far, only giving up 13 points in total on the road.
Yeah.
Right. And the Packers offense, maybe they look back to normal in the first half against the Bears, but just the Bucs is a totally different challenge for them. Like you said, how well they ran the ball, but that's not going to happen against the Bucs here. And the thing is, the Packers just won't have that receiver that yet. I mean, eventually Rodgers might find that receiver, but they don't have the receiver yet that's going to scare this Bucs team. So it's going to be challenging to have.
I just can't believe it's a pick 'em. I mean, that's saying that the Packers are like 3 points
really
better.
Really is,
right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, you're
I mean,
just looking
at the Mike Evans thing, but
no. Yeah.
Brady's 2-0 against Rodgers in his last two. Rodgers' last two trips to Florida, 4 picks.
Sure. But you're not counting the golf, Harry, and that's a different story. Rodgers dominant.
So yeah. I would just think the Bucs, I think, missing so much on offense right now. I think they're going to keep the clock moving, right? A lot of runs, short passes for Brady.
Mm-hmm.
This feels like a 20-17 type of game, which is weird considering, obviously, these two great quarterbacks. But, yeah, I'm going to go under 42.
It could be. Could be a lot of short passes, a lot of running. You might be right. I don't know why. I think there's a stupid defensive touchdown in there somewhere. All right, so I'm taking the Packers. Rams, Cardinals, this is my best. I like the Rams. 3.5. Yeah, it's in Arizona. 48.5 is the over-under. I really like it a lot. I don't believe in this Cardinals team at all. I apologize, Brian, for what they did to your Raiders.
Yep.
I think that was a bull crap win. and I don't care that there's revenge potential. I mean, I know they played. Well, they play. I mean, the Rams beat them up in the playoffs, right? I just don't think we've seen the best the Rams have to offer. I think they're taking a lot of heat for, you know, letting up against Atlanta, but they had that game in hand and Atlanta came back and Cooper Kupp fumbles and he doesn't normally cough up the ball. Otherwise, that's a double-digit game. Breakout game for Stafford this week. Arizona, don't forget, 0-6 against the spread in their last six home games. And Kingsbury, 1-6 versus the Rams. This is one of these dominant coaching matchups. I mean, look at this team, Harry. You brought this up. Darrell Williams leads the Cardinals with 59 rushing yards. Greg Dortch led the receiving corps with 11 for 118. The Rams signed Malcolm Brown, which is funny. More funny news for Cam Akers owners in fantasy, but I actually think it's a big Cam Akers game. He had 15 carries last week. He's going to break it. He's going to score this week. 31-13 blowout. There you go, Brian. I'm going under. Harry's going over.
I'm going over in this game. Rams offense still very good. We saw Allen Robinson finally getting in the end zone. He's got a touchdown. Maybe he gets rolling a little bit with this Rams offense. And the Rams defense, though, after 2 weeks of giving up 29 points a game, very soft. Maybe Arizona and Kyler Murray finally got their offense rolling in the fourth quarter against Bryant's Raiders last week. And then 11 of the last 12 meetings between these two NFC West rivals, somebody has scored 30 or more points in the game. I'm going over 48.5. Arizona finds some offense here. Rams still got a good offense. And like I said, soft defense. Murray gets some running and gets some first downs going, gets touchdowns, and it goes over.
This is a late afternoon game, right? Obviously, at Arizona. So this is one of the things we'll be doing live together. So wait for something screwy for sure for one of us in this game. Another one. Is this late too, Brian? Raiders at Titans?
No, it's one.
Or is that early?
Early, it's early game.
Okay. So Raiders and Titans. Well, here's what's strange about it. The Titans are an underdog at home, 45.5. Now, bear with me here. How many games were the Titans supposed to win this year before everything?
Nine.
Like nine?
Yeah, it might have been nine.
Nine or 9.5?
Yeah.
What were the Raiders? 8.5?
Yep.
Right? Neither team has a win. So why did it shift so much? Were the Titans that much worse? I know they were really bad Monday night. Maybe it's a short week. Mm-hmm. I think it's a little bit of a fixed line here, getting points at home. You know, and I look, sure, the way I really feel about the Raiders, the team I picked to win the West, is they could be 2-0. They're a few plays away from being 2-0. Titans 0-4 against the spread in their last four overall. Here's the thing with the Raiders, Brian. I know you know this. 71% passing, 76 passes, 34 runs. I think they switch it up a little bit. They're talking about switching it up a little bit there. Titans are 31st against the run. Mm-hmm. Jacobs hasn't been that bad. I think he gets rolling even more. And if you look at it, and this is a big if, although it's getting less and less big. If Derrick Henry doesn't get going, I think they're bottom three or four in terms of scary teams in the NFL. That's my take on the Titans and the AFC South in general. 27-19, Bri. Your Raiders win. You don't have sweat it out.
Thank you. Well, if they lose this game, season's over. Season's over.
Really?
0-3. That's it, huh? 0-3 in that division. I mean, yeah.
In the West? It's over. So. Yeah. Yeah, the problem is you never get a break schedule-wise in that division, right? So, all right. Well, that's why they're going to win. Parlay Kid, you agree with me?
I agree with you, Sal. I think the Titans' window might have closed on this team.
Yeah.
You know, they've been – I think they've overachieved the last few years with Tannehill at the helm for them. And I've always thought he's been a pretty decent quarterback. But he's got no weapons to throw to right now. Who scares you? Amongst his receivers, trading A.J. Brown really put him in a bad way, as far as I'm concerned. And Derrick Henry, look, you know, there's only so many carries a guy can do. And without a passing game, it's harder and harder on that guy, no matter how talented he is. He's averaging 3.1 yards per carry so far through these two games. He's been a non-factor. The Raiders are a much more talented team here. They are the more talented team on paper than the Tennessee Titans. There is no excuse for the Raiders to lose this game. None. Their backs are against the wall. And Tennessee's backs are against the wall, too. I know they're the home team. But I think Tennessee, their mind is, I think, is starting to shift to, you know, maybe starting to rebuild themselves. Maybe with Malik Willis at quarterback. I think there's some thoughts that are going through that organization's mind right now. Where the Raiders are in win now mode. This isn't a team that should be settling for six wins. This year you just picked up Devontae Adams, for crying out loud, to win football games. Go out, game
12
in
yards
Tennessee
last week.
Like you should. That's it. No excuses.
Well, you know, the good thing about being in the AFC South is you could have a rebuilding year and still win the division by accident. So they could do all those things you talked about. Maybe Malik Willis, and then it's Malik Willis and Trevor Lawrence and Davis Mills, right? And an aging Matt Ryan. So you have as good a chance as any there. So that's the good news for Titans fans. The bad news is they're going to lose 27-19 to the Raiders this week. All right, Sunday night. This is a good one. Fun one. 49ers at Broncos. I don't know. It could be like 12-9. All said and done. The over-under is 45. The Broncos, here's another one, getting points at home. I was thinking about this, Harry. Like, if you did this spread preseason with Trey Lance at quarterback, not that Jimmy G cost them spread-wise, but Wilson at home against Trey, what was the line? What did it start at like 3 weeks ago? Like the look-ahead line? Broncos -3?
I would say 3.5. I'd say 3.5.
Yeah. So the Broncos have been kind of lame. They haven't gotten their offense going at all. Yeah, no offense at all. The Jimmy G thing doesn't move the line, or maybe it does a little in their favor. Anyway, San Francisco's my pick. 6-1 against the spread, the last seven overall, 4-1 ATS in the last five road games. Bosa, team high, 3 sacks. Niners, 3 interceptions. I'm going all defense here. I won't even mention Jimmy G and what they're going to do and run. I just don't think Russ gets right against this defense, which is number one against the pass in the league. Yeah. Low scoring, 22-17, maybe even lower scoring than that. I'm taking San Francisco. Darren, you're taking them as well.
Yeah, right? Bad news, Sal. We're on every game together.
I know,
here,
we are. And, I have to take your Shark Tank, too.
Right? That is not good for people, especially after what happened tonight.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
even though we were against each other tonight, so it's unbelievable. But yeah. Sal, you're right. Did you see, you know, the team, Jimmy G's teammates were so happy for him the other day.
Yeah.
And I think the 49ers, to me, have taken a leap here. I wasn't sold on Trey Lance. I just think Garoppolo's not great, but fits into this team pretty well. This team is, but it's still, to me, a really defensive first team, this 49ers. They bring it. They are a physical team. And one thing I think we've seen so far with the Broncos, I don't think they're a really physical team. Like you always think of the Broncos as being like a physical team.
I think the coach hit his head on a wall or something walking out. Does that count as physicality? Maybe the head coach.
And Shanahan, right. The coaching advantage here is in Shanahan for sure. And I just don't know. You know, losing to Seattle, okay, and then really struggling with the Texans team at home and Russell Wilson's
losing 9-6 late
debut there was not impressive. You know, have we seen the best of Russell Wilson? It kind of seems like we have. So maybe he's really not able to elevate this Broncos team the way people thought he might be able to. So I'm rolling with the San Francisco 49ers here. I just think they're going to be too physical for the Broncos. Garoppolo will make enough plays. Kittle may be back too this week, which greatly helps them too. It obviously, he's a key to their offense. So let's go with the 49ers here, Sal. I haven't seen enough from the Broncos yet.
Wow, we are three. I mean, you had a chance. You were opposite me with the Chiefs Colts, and you changed it. And now we are three for three.
I changed it. Yeah, I put my EP picks in today. I want it to be consistent with all my stuff.
All right. Well, let's take another quick break, and then we're going to go over some college games and some good action on the board for Saturday.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, let's go over the college action. Two games that we isolated here. You know, we were going to do Clemson Wake Forest, but then we said, screw it. We're not going to do that. We're not going to bother. We're going to do, we got to get it so the Parlay Kid and I have 3 for 3 in the pros. And so we added the extra pro game. But anyway, Florida, Tennessee, the Vols, or a 10.5 point favorite. I'm going Florida here. I know, Harry, you agree with me. We're agreeing too much here. The Gators won the last 5 meetings with Tennessee by an average of 20 points. They've won 16 in the last 17. I know Tennessee's a better team, but these things just kind of happen. I know the Gators, they came out of the gate strong. Huge win week one against the Utes of Utah, and they've looked a little lame by comparison against Kentucky and South Florida. They had a narrow win there. Quarterback Anthony Richardson, you're going to see him carry the ball a lot for a quarterback, at least. He's going to try to penetrate that Vols defense. It only allows 84 rushing yards per game. This is a different one. Napier gets his team going. Keeps it close, 33-28. I like Florida to cover a close one. Tennessee wins. Harry, how are you going Florida? You're a Hendon Hooker guy.
Brian's going Florida.
It's me.
Oh, this is Brian.
I'm all over Tennessee.
Harry's definitely all over Tennessee.
Although Harry, what do you think?
Harry would probably take Florida here too, I'm sure.
Yeah, nah, Florida looked really bad against South Florida. When I was in Florida last week, bro, I watched my buddies. We watched that South Florida game. Awful on defense against South Florida. Terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably lean the over on this game. I think it's 62.5. Probably a lot of points are scored here, but I was like, you know, 10 and a half seemed like a lot. I thought maybe it would be like 7.5. Sal, you had said Florida's owned this team for a long time here, but you can't even really go by that, right? Now that you have a brand new coach in here, just seems like a lot of points. And it's going to come down to Richardson, right? So it's funny, like, you know, after week one, they talk about this guy as a top 10 guy in the draft, right? And that's like, boy, have things changed, right? After 2 weeks, I had back-to-back rough performances. And I think, look, if he can cut down on turnovers this week, if he uses his legs more like you're saying he should do, he definitely is somebody, especially in the college game, that needs to run a little bit more.
He may have to have like 20 carries for this.
He's going to have a big game for them to stay in this. He's going to have a monster game for them to stay in this game. But I do think he will. I think maybe you're going to see something like you saw in the first game against Utah. But I do think he's definitely going to use his legs. But 10.5 again, I thought that was too many at this point to back Tennessee.
Yeah. All right, Harry, let's hear your thoughts. I know what is Hendon Hooker's numbers for Heisman at this point. I'll look it up. Okay, give me your reasoning.
Still thought like 45-1 maybe, but he's been flawless. His completion percentage is excellent. No turnovers. Runs the ball a little bit early on in the season. Earlier in the first two games, he had a little bit more rushing than he did last week. But still, he's got touchdowns rushing and very efficient passing the ball. And the team's been rolling, killing everybody.
Let me see where regular season wins with a Heisman Trophy. Stroud +275, Caleb Williams +350, Bryce Young +425. So Caleb Williams jumping second is the big move this week.
What do you got Hooker at?
40-1.
Still around 40-45. And like I said, the key point for Tennessee is when they play at Georgia, and Georgia looks spectacular right now. But if Tennessee's in that game and late and pulls that game out, Hooker's going to shoot right up.
Whoa. All right. Well, let's isolate that last line. We could use it to our advantage there. Hooker's going to shoot right up. All right. Texas A&M, Arkansas. Is this a Jerry World? Right? This is in Dallas, in Arlington.
Yeah,
right?
Usually they do this with those 2 minutes.
This is it. Yeah. Neutral site. Somewhat neutral, I guess. These two teams have been on neutral field last year. A&M lost 20-10 to Arkansas. Arkansas 4-1 against the number in the last five versus Texas A&M. They're weird. Their schedule's been weak so far, but they're a pretty good running game. I'd say pretty good, excellent for who they played. 262 yards a game. They got KJ Jefferson, one of the better quarterbacks all of a sudden in the SEC, playing well, both running, passes at 70%, just one pick. A&M moves from Haynes King to LSU transfer Max Johnson. I think he only had like 140 yards last week. That was a weird game against Miami where they held on, they won, and they covered. But I'm a KJ Jefferson guy, and I'm a bumper pool guy, and I'm going with the Hogs 30-21, Harry. You're going against me here.
Yeah, I'm gonna lay the two with A&M. Look, they had their slip up a couple weeks ago against Appalachian State. They got their things. They got their defense, which has been spectacular last week in that game against Miami. I gave out the under on against all odds. Went under easily. You mentioned the transfer from LSU, Johnson. Yeah, he was 10 of 20, efficient. 140 yards, had a touchdown, no turnovers. As long as he doesn't turn it over here, I think just A&M has one of the best defenses in college football. They've yielded 26 points in three games, just almost like 9 points per game. Arkansas beat Cincinnati by 7, who lost a ton of players this offseason. They beat South Carolina by 14, who's awful. Maybe they should have rolled it up a little bit more. And last week against Missouri State, they had a score late, and they barely they win that game by 11 against Missouri State. They're kind of due for a loss here. I think, like I said, A&M got their loss a couple weeks ago. They keep rolling defensively for Jimbo Fisher. They get it done, and they win this game.
They'll get up for this. I know Arkansas has been up and down. This will be a good one, I think. All right, Sharp Tank. You guys give me your best for the weekend. I'm going to jump on one. Parlay Kid, I jumped on your like 5-6 teamer last week. It was a money line parlay. It got plus money back. And all we needed was the Raiders.
The Raiders. And, I went 5-6.
I don't even think you realized it when you did the spectacular Gus Johnson-esque call when we watched it live. And you're like, oh, crap, we lost our Sharp Tank. But go ahead. What do you got?
And I was
this week?
Sad. You know, boy, oh boy, what a rough couple NFL days it has been. Boy, oh boy. But yeah, so I'm coming with a winner here. Something I'm very confident in. Two-team parlay here, minus 122. We are taking the Chargers at home against the Jags. I can't. The Chargers aren't losing this game. They can you foresee the Chargers losing this game being 1-2?
I just got to see if, I mean, but I saw him practicing today, Herbert. He was doing some kind of like dance routine today. They're like, yeah, very this confident. Is a light workout.
Just okay. Very confident.
Ryan's quarterback not looking too shabby.
Who? Trevor Lawrence, he's been okay.
He's been okay.
Thank you.
you know, the Chargers defense has been really good so far this year. I think they really shut down that Jags O, which isn't very scary as it is. Mm-hmm. Chargers win that game, Sal, pretty easily.
I'll say and this is one of the very few home field advantages they'll have. I don't see a lot of Jaguars fans
100%.
Traveling. And the Jaguars, yes. I think they're 0-17 the last 17. Is that right, Harry? 17 road games? Is that possible? Mm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right. I'll buy that. Yeah, this next one's a little tough. Go ahead.
And look, and I'm taking Cincy over the Jets, just straight up here. Look, these guys almost won the Super Bowl last year. I think they could be 2-0 Cincinnati, right? They could be 2-0. They got their act together a little bit in the second half against the Cowboys, who were a very good defense. This Jet defense was not very good against the Browns last week. And, you know, they were down by 2 touchdowns basically late in that game against the Browns. And the Jets could easily be sitting at 0-2 right now.
Yeah,
that's where the Browns are. The Browns are too good. I think that you're going to get a good dose of Dixon.
Bengals. Yeah.
Mixon, excuse me.
Bengals and Mixon. I can't jump
Browns,
on this. You don't even know
Browns
the team.
And Sal, it's Browns 12. And it's the next day. It's really Friday here on the East Coast. It's late. Yeah, the Bengals. And I'm sure somebody out there is going to complain about the way we say the Bengals, too.
Yeah.
Because we don't say it right, I guess, here on Long Island.
The Jets have played 3 AFC North teams in a row. That's weird. Right? Ravens?
That's correct.
I think they opened.
Yeah. Well, they started all 4, right? Is that how it works?
Next year, week 2, they play Pittsburgh. Yep. We just said that. Yeah, wow.
I don't know who said that.
So all right, so Cincy Mixon, and the Chargers, minus 122.
Yeah, Mixon slows down the pass rush of the Jets.
Mm.
And Burrow, Chase breaks out this week. Chase has a huge game.
Okay.
Since he wins, minus 122. I like this one. I'm very, very confident in this
one. All right. I got to stay away because earlier in the day, I picked my pup of the week was the Jets. I've come full circle on it. Now, you might be right. This could be the game they get killed, but wouldn't it be funny if Flacco figured out how to play quarterback just like that? Or just was a serviceable, this is Garrett Wilson and Flacco. What a new combination to root for. All right. So I got to stay away. Because I have to stay true to my picks. Harry, what's your... I don't like this already. I'm already so upset with
others. I know. Listen, you and Parlay Kid, the teasers, I know. I understand. But I'm going to go with the 2-team, 7-point teaser, both overs here. First, I'm going to give out the Rams and Cardinals over 41.5, like I already gave my reasons. 11 of the last 12 in the meeting here where between these two, someone scored 30 points. So I'm going to go over 41.5 here with the Philadelphia Washington game to go over 40 on a 7-point total teaser. Now, Philly was first in rushing last year. They're second this year, and they're first in total yards after 2 weeks. They're averaging 31 points per game. A.J. Brown has been everything they thought that he would be. Him and Devontae Smith, finally, the Eagles have a 1-2 combo to be proud of, to be these guys are superstars. First time they've had like a combination like this in like 8 to 10 years. And on the Washington side, their defense is awful again, just like it was last year. But on the offensive side, kind of been like a lot of people haven't noticed, but Wentz through 2 weeks, he's got 7 touchdowns.
Oh, I know.
Give me the over.
What was it? It was Wentz, Flacco, and Tua were the top 3 quarterbacks before Josh Allen played Monday night.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a stupid year.
All
so,
right.
Yeah, teaser.
All right, I'll consider that. All right, Brian, what's your
Sean Tanker? You might not like this, but I'm going to go with the Lions getting six.
I like it.
You know, there's a few teams this season I feel like I just want to bet on, you know, especially when they're underdogs. I feel like this Lions, the six is probably a little bit too high. If you remember last season, they split this series, and Detroit could have won that game in Minnesota.
They should have, right, for sure.
Minnesota coming off the short week. The Lions offense, I will say, is very good. One of the more it's weird to think they're one of the more exciting teams with Jared Goff in there, but their offensive line has been fantastic. Swift has been really good. You know, and the game, I think, is going to come down to Goff or Cousins, who sometimes look like the same quarterback. But I think a lot of points are going to be scored. But I could see the Vikings coming from behind late to maybe just eke out a win. I just think six is a lot. And I would take the over, too. The funny thing is, I will say, credit to Caesars, the over here is 51.5, which... I think on some other sites, it's like 53. So if you like the, or 53 really? And a half even. So if you like the over, Caesar says it's a good odds.
That's the place to be. All right. You know what? I like this. I'm not going to overthink it, Brian. I'm going with you. Lions plus six. I think they have a chance. So Will Blackman was on Extra Points yesterday. He said that's his, he nice. Thinks they win on the field. Where else would they win? They're playing on the field. They win outright. They don't need the points. So Brian, I will go with you. And what else do we want to say here? Extrapoints.com/arcade. Join our pick'em contest and our prop quiz contest. $203 up for grabs and a gold cap for those contests. Oh, yeah, Babyface Joel Solomon. Yeah, we don't have Eddie Spaghetti here, but we did the cap of consequences. You guys should maybe get in on this, too, if you want. Well, we'll be able to sort it out Monday. We have another podcast Monday. But Cowboys, Giants, I will be there. My cousin Jimmy is going to be in the booth. I'm not. I'll just be standing behind him. I'm going to have makeup on just in case, but I don't think they're going to ask me. I think Jimmy thinks it's like Howard Stern, where he's like, yeah, come on in. My cousin Sal's here. Bring him in. But it's not. So anyway, he's going to be in the booth. I'll be at the game. Spaghetti is very confident in these Giants. I'm confident in the Cowboys. And the loser, what did we do, Babyface? We picked out of the cap of consequences. What was it, Big Tuna?
In honor of Bill Parcells, of course, a legendary coach who coached for both teams. It's called the Big Tuna, and the loser will have to actually have a Big Tuna on their head on, I guess it will be, Tuesday's show.
Tuesday's podcast. The loser has to put a spend the entire podcast with a Big Tuna on their head. Now, there's... we'll sort it out. But some people are like, well, is it tuna fish? I don't know. I don't know if it's tuna. I'm envisioning like an actual big tuna. I don't know where we would get it. Do the grocery stores have like tuna, like a big actual fish? Not cut up?
We'll find it.
We'll find it. Harry, you'll go fishing. You'll find one, right? Some lake in Arizona. So there you go. Big tuna. That's the cap of consequences. One of us is not going to be happy. That will do it for another episode of Against All Odds. For Mikey Meatballs, for Babyface Joel Solomon, and the Degenerate Trifecta, I'm Sal saying so long and happy handicapping. Na, 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 na